It's time for the younger ones to make their way into the back hall. And as they do that, you might like to turn to our reading this morning, which is in the book of John, chapter 5, starting at the first verse. It can be found on page 122 of our church Bibles, 122.
The healing at the pool. After this, Jesus went to Jerusalem for a religious festival. Near the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool with five porches. In Hebrew, it is called Bethesda. A large crowd of sick people were lying in the porches, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew the man had been ill for such a long time. So he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one here to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am trying to get in, somebody else gets there first." Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." Immediately the man got well. He picked up his mat and started walking. The day this happened was a Sabbath, so the Jewish authorities told the man who had been healed, "This is a Sabbath, and it is against our law for you to carry your mat." He answered, "The man who made me well told me to pick up my mat and walk." They asked him, "Who is the man who told you to do this?" But the man who had been healed did not know who Jesus was, for there was a crowd in that place and Jesus had slipped away. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said, "Listen, you are well now, so stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Then the man left and told the Jewish authorities that it was Jesus who had healed him.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're in Old Jerusalem, down by the Sheep Gate. And it was one of the Jewish festivals. There was a pool that was called in Hebrew or Aramaic Bethesda, or Bethesda as it's sometimes translated, meaning House of Mercy. The place had five porticos. It was no ordinary pool. The pool was dedicated to the Greek god of healing, Asclepius. Now, it was believed that when the waters of the pool bubbled up periodically, the first person into the water would be healed. Many believed that the bubbling water was caused by an angel. You can imagine that moment when the first bubbling started and everybody wanted to be the first. But note that in chapter 5, there is no verse 4. In several ancient copies of the Gospel, there is an extra verse with an explanation of the waters and of the angel. It says this: "At certain times, an angel of the Lord would go down into the pool and stir up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease they had." There was, in fact, beneath the pool, a subterranean stream which would every now and again bubble up and disturb the water. We know that because you can go to the pools and see them today. The people believed that from time to time, this pool became like a health spa, a place of healing. And as you might imagine, a lot of sick and hurting people came to this pool and waited for that moment, the moment to dash as soon as this celestial lifeguard blew his whistle. It wasn't last one in is a rotten egg, but first one in gets the heavenly prize. Now there was a man there who had been sick for 38 years. Had he been sick all his life? We don't know. He could have been a lot older than 38. Is the number 38 a real number or symbolic? Again, we don't know. But we do know it's John's gospel. And that has significance. The man waiting for his hope to be fulfilled, is he in the same situation as the people were long ago when they wandered and waited for 38 years for the promise of God to be fulfilled to them? You can read about that in Deuteronomy 2. Is that what the 38 is about? We don't know. Jesus, passing the pole, noticed the man and knew that he had been sick for a long time. He knew that according to the law, he shouldn't heal the man because after all, it was the Sabbath. He knew the risks, but Jesus takes the initiative here and asks the question, do you want to be made well? What a ridiculous question. The man had been sick for 38 years, lying by a pool, believed to be the place of healing. Why else would he be there? Of course he wants to be made well. I mean, if somebody was really starving, would you say to them, would you like some food? But maybe the question wasn't so ridiculous. Perhaps hope had died and left behind a passive and dull despair. Perhaps the man wished to remain disabled. Think about it. Life would change so much if healed. A life with greater responsibility. A man paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus says, do you want to get well? Some argue that this man's response is a lame excuse. Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm making my way, somebody else steps down ahead of me. Was it an excuse? I'm not sure it was. Wasn't he just stating the facts of his situation? He wanted to be made whole, but had discovered that he couldn't do it on his own. Perhaps his hope was that somebody would come along and intercede for him, and here at last was somebody offering to help. Now I expect that the man was thinking that Jesus would hang around and help him to the pool when the water all got stirred up the next time. In the past 38 years, this man had been a beggar, so he lived his life off the donation of others. The question is, if he were healed, he would lose those donations, wouldn't he? He might lose the pity of others. If this man were healed, he would then have to be responsible for himself. He would have to find work. He would have a whole new world for himself. Do you want to be made well? It's a question that should really make you think. What Jesus is really asking is, do you want to be changed? Do you know, we can be strangely content with where we are. I meet so many people who spend their life moaning. It's like they're in a pit, moaning all the time about their lot. And every so often, somebody dangles a rope. And they're just, oh yeah, but, you know, what's the hidden agenda? Do you want to be made well? It can be a real challenge for us. Some of you know I visit a family who live off benefits and live with a cycle of addiction and abuse. And they live in a spiral of despair. And how many times have they been offered help? And how many times have they realized that actually they're quite comfortable where they are, even though they don't like it? Jesus said to the man, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." We miss the point of the story if we believe that the man could have done this a long time ago, if only he'd used his initiative. The healing can only take place through the power of Jesus. But the power of God never dispenses without human effort. We recognize our helplessness, but miracles come when our will and God's power cooperate to make it happen. In a flash, Jesus does what the pool stood for. But what hadn't happened very successfully? He heals. A word is all it takes, a command. Get up, take your mattress, walk. We don't even know in this story if the man believed. Perhaps the fact that he did just as he was told is a sign that he did believe. And in the healing, this man has started on a much harder but more satisfying way of life. Now, if one looks at the bigger picture, it's as though this pagan Greek shrine pointed dimly to the healing that Jesus was bringing. Jesus here is fulfilling the hopes and half-formed beliefs of the pagan world as well as the Jews. Yes, salvation is for the Jews, but it must spread out from the Jews to embrace the wider world. And when Jesus says to the man, "Get up," the word in the Greek is the one used in the New Testament to describe the resurrection. It's the inner secret of Jesus' work. He's bringing a new life, a new creation. It bursts through all the present world, bringing healing and new possibilities. Get up, yes, but picking up his mattress, that was a different story. There's a problem here. It was the Sabbath, and there was no carrying on the Sabbath according to the law, no carrying of anything. In Jeremiah chapter 17, it says this. This is what the Lord says. Be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day, or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your houses or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your ancestors. The healed man has just begun his new faith journey, and now he must deal with the implications of his decision. Obeying the command that secured his healing also means he breaks the law by carrying his bed. A step out in faith includes a step into a more radical identity. That is what it means to be made well. It means to boldly step out on a new path, a new way of life. So the man's actions get him into trouble. Some let it be known that they were not pleased with him. No sooner had he stepped out of his bed then he was accosted by those who believed he was engaging in an illegal religious act. The Jewish leaders saw a man who had become a new creation by the power of God on the Sabbath. But their gaze was focused on the mattress he was carrying. The healing and the carry of the mattress were forbidden by the law. "But the man who healed me told me to do this," says the man. Was he passing the buck? "Don't blame me, it was him." Or was he just telling the truth? We don't know. And it wasn't long before the healed man met up with Jesus again. Jesus finds him in the temple. He said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore so nothing worse happens to you." Some suggest that this implies that the sins of the man's past led to his paralysis. I don't think that's true. The Jews in Jesus' day believed that if somebody was ill, it meant that they had sinned in some way to cause the illness. So sickness was regarded as a judgment from God. Sickness represented sin, and healing represented forgiveness. So nobody could be cursed unless their sins were nobody could be cured unless their sins were forgiven. And if anybody was healing, it signified that they were sent by God, because only God heals. In the healing, Jesus is effectively saying, this is what happens when God is running the world. This is what it looks like when God is king of the earth. The time has come. The power of God is breaking into the present. This is what happens when God becomes king on earth as he is in heaven. And contrary to popular opinion, God's rule will benefit those who are regarded as being the least worthy. Jesus is God's future in person. That is what his healing announced. For the paralyzed man, to encounter Jesus was to encounter God's rule in human form. Jesus' words and actions showed that the time had arrived, that the future, the new creation, was already here. One no longer needed the Sabbath. The Sabbath law was not a stupid law that needed to be abolished. It was a signpost, and its purpose had been accomplished. There's no point in having a signpost at the end of our drive to Cannes when you're standing in Castle Street already. You're already here. The Sabbath was pointing forward to a time when time would be fulfilled, and that was happening now. So if the Sabbath now has a purpose, it's not for rest from the hard work of creation, but for God's victory over evil. As one commentator puts it, if Jesus is the walking, breathing, living temple, he is also the walking, celebrating, victorious Sabbath. And the last verse in the text we read this morning is the man telling the authorities that Jesus was the one who had healed him. Most commentators think that he was telling on Jesus, that he was accepting the healing but not the healer. I don't think we can make that judgment. The actual words of the law were, as we read earlier, if anybody carries anything from a public place to a private house on the Sabbath intentionally, he is punishable to death by stoning. I think the man was simply trying to explain that it was not his fault that he had broken the law. However, that did mean that Jesus breaking the Sabbath law became the straw that broke the camel's back for Jesus' enemies. And later, Jesus' explanation in verse 17 doesn't help. My Father is still working, and I am also working. He is claiming equality with God. Jesus is not teaching us really about the Sabbath here. He is teaching us something about himself. He makes the point that God's work on the Sabbath, and no one is calling God a lawbreaker. So when Jesus works on the Sabbath, he is not breaking the law of Moses, because he and God are the same. Jesus is using the Sabbath as an opportunity to teach them something about his identity. We are not called to have faith in the Sabbath, but faith in Jesus Christ. The question for all of us today is, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be changed? Or actually, are you quite content with your lot? Jesus says, get up, be resurrected, be part of God's new creation. For with Jesus' resurrection, God's new creation project is launched upon the whole world. Take up your mattress. In other words, take on the responsibilities that this new life in Christ requires. It's easy to accept the healing, but do you accept the healer? For if you do, your new life will bring its challenges. And walk. Will you join in being blessed to be a blessing? Are you ready to make the road by walking, journeying with Christ? The enemies of Jesus are bound by rules and restrictions, so much so that they no longer have access to this new life. I'm sure you've met people like that who claim to be followers of Jesus. But the path of Jesus is wholeness and life. It's not an easy life. It brings with it conflict, as the man found out. But it is a new life, so rich and rewarding that those who pursue it can be said to possess eternal life, right here, right now. Wow. What a gift. Get up, take your mattress, and walk. Amen.